This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. And again, if you would like to contact me, you can do that either through my website or by regular mail. And my website does have this program on it, as well as a weekly meditation that you might find helpful. So I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. Now, we've been looking at Jonah, and last time we read about him from Matthew chapter 12, 38 through 41, and we noted that Jonah was a great preacher. That is, at least his preaching was great, because the Lord says the men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. His preaching was great, and yet when we look at Jonah, we wouldn't consider him to be so great. And one of the things that I want you to understand from the study of Jonah is that if God could do such great things through a prophet who was resisting the will of God, think of what he could do through someone who is submitting themselves to the will of God. Now, last time I noted that this was a picture of the resurrection, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, in the belly of the great fish. It says in the New King James in Matthew 12, the Son of Man shall be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And I kept saying, I think last time, that this did not involve 36 hours. It involved three calendar days. I should have been saying it did not involve 72 hours, because 3 days, literal days, would be 24-hour days, and those 24-hour days, if you take up times three, I think, comes up to 72. So I made a mistake, but you'll have to forgive me. Nevertheless, what he was saying was that these were literal calendar days, and in the Jewish mind, I believe that he wasn't saying that he would be there throughout the 24 hours of each day, but that the days were 24-hour days that would be involved, and that would make them calendar days or literal days and not symbolic days. And the Lord was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. It was part of Friday, all of Saturday, and part of Sunday. So Jonah was one of the reasons why the Old Testament is, or maybe it wasn't so clear to Jonah, but it's clear to us that the Old Testament predicted the resurrection of the Lord and predicted how long he would be in the grave. And that's one of the reasons we have confidence in the gospel, and the resurrection of the Lord, as we've said, is one of the cornerstone truths that we preach when we preach the gospel. Because the Lord is living, we know that he can keep his promise to preserve us, to save us from the penalty that we deserve because of our sin, to preserve us while we walk through this life, and then to take us to heaven and present us unblameable in his sight as part of his bride. So he also is going to come, and he's going to deliver us from this scene of sin and shame if we are truly saved. So now when we come to the actual book of Jonah, I want to read from Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish, which I think is a part of Spain, from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. In chapter 1, we find Joseph fleeing from the presence of the Lord. In chapter 2, he's in the great fish's belly. And as he prays to the Lord, as he gets his attitude adjusted there in the belly of the great fish, he finds out salvation is of the Lord. And that was true, because in chapter 1, some sailors are delivered from a watery grave when this storm comes up, and they throw Jonah into the sea. They pray for deliverance, and they're delivered from the effects of that storm, but they're also delivered eternally. They come to trust in the Lord. They become worshipers of the Lord. So salvation was of the Lord for some sailors. Jonah needed to be saved from the belly of that whale or great fish, and he was saved in chapter 2, and in chapter 3 we find out that Nineveh was saved because they believed the preaching of Jonah. They believed it was the word of God. They believed it was what they deserved, and they repented, starting with the king and going down through the people in the city. They repented in sackcloth and ashes, and because they repented, but really it's because they believed and showed their repentance by what they did, because they believed God, the judgment did not come. So chapter 4, we have Jonah as a very angry preacher. Now, I've written a meditation having to do with this very passage, and I'm going to read it to you, and you'll get a little flavor about what the meditations are about. I've titled this meditation, Great Preaching. And I've read from Matthew 12, 39 through 41. Now, the first section has to do with Jonah's disobedience. And I said, if we were to prepare a curriculum on evangelism, we probably would not include Jonah. And yet Jonah had great success. He was disobedient and saw sailors saved. He was recommissioned and preached a message that he did not want to preach and saw a whole city saved. I wonder what would have happened if he had been a willing evangelist. Now, the second section asks, why did Jonah resist his call? The Assyrians were a ruthless bunch, and Nineveh was its capital. No doubt Jonah had seen and heard of the cruelty of the Assyrians. As a prophet, he likely knew that ultimately they would be the instrument God would use to punish the nation of Israel for worshiping the same gods that the Canaanites before them had worshiped. There is no doubt that Jonah was not interested in seeing the city of Nineveh saved from destruction. To put it simply, Jonah did not take the Assyrians, did not like the Assyrians, and possibly even hated them. So what happened when Jonah refused to obey? Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord and paid a fare to go down. And that is always what happens when we disobey God. It costs us, and we go down. In parentheses, I might say salvation is a free gift, but there's always a price to pay with sin. So it costs us, and we go down. Usually we end up in a pit of despair. Jonah certainly did. But in Jonah's case, the Lord used his disobedience to see a bunch of sailors come to faith in the Lord. They wanted salvation from a storm. They got that, and they also got eternal salvation. When Jonah told them his story, and when the sea was calmed by casting him into it, they realized that his God was real. We know that Jonah was thrown overboard and was swallowed by a great fish. Jonah, of course, still needed to go to Nineveh to preach, but he needed an attitude adjustment. God preserved him by having a great fish swallow him when the sailors threw him overboard to calm the sea. In the belly of that fish, he realizes that salvation is of the Lord. God saved the sailors, God was saving Jonah, and God would save the Ninevites. God gave Jonah a second chance. A person would think Jonah would have been happy for that, but he wasn't. He went to Nineveh and preached just 8 words, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He didn't preach a message of love or of hope. He preached about coming destruction. When the Ninevites heard his message, they believed God and showed it by fasting and mourning. When they believed God about the coming destruction, they looked for a means of salvation, and they found it. God didn't destroy them. They were saved. But Jonah was still angry with God. He complained because he knew that even though Nineveh deserved to be destroyed, God would be merciful to them. This caused him to go down into the pit of depression. He wanted to die. This was his second pit, but his preaching had been effective. Now, what are the lessons that we learn from this story about Jonah? First, a person cannot run from the presence of the Lord. We know that God is everywhere. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. And we can't run from the presence of the Lord. Many unbelievers are running from the presence of the Lord, and it's going to cost them their souls. They're going to go down when they die into the pit. And for them, the pit is going to be a place of eternal punishment, a place of eternal torment. And they're going to be able to remember in that pit that they could have been saved, that people had told them about the Lord, and they could have been saved. But it's going to be too late. when they're in that pit. And for a Christian who disobeys the Lord, it often causes them depression. We see that with Jonah. He wanted to die. And we see it with Elijah, who, when he was tired after slaying the prophets of Baal, wanted to die. And we see others in the Bible who take too much on them and perhaps do things that God has not asked them to do. And ultimately, it causes them great depression. And they do say that it would be better to die and not to live. But it's always better to live. It's better to get our house in order. It's better to do what God asks us to do and to do it heartily as to the Lord. And when we do that, we can have joy and peace in believing. We can fix our eyes upon Jesus, and instead of being concerned about how badly we're being treated, we can remember how badly the Lord was treated, and that he was treated that badly at the cross by his own people. But he did that because God did love the world and every person in the world. He loved them so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, trusts in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. You cannot run from the presence of the Lord. Second, God can use our disobedience to fulfill his purposes. Now, he used unbelieving nations to judge Israel. He used Israel, supposedly a believing nation, although not everyone in Israel was a believer. He judged them to judge an unbelieving nation, the Canaanites, when they came into the land. But I think about how that Assyria and Babylon were used to judge Israel for turning back to idolatry. And it was all according to the plan of God. And there's a day coming when there's going to be a man of sin who will demand worship. And people will say, well, we've got to worship him. If we don't worship him, we can't buy or sell in the marketplace. That is, we'll not be able to eat. And so they'll consider it expedient to worship that man, and perhaps they'll even think that he's a man that will bless them because he's going to present himself, it appears, as God. If I understand 2 Thessalonians 2, in the temple, he's going to present himself as God, and people are going to worship him. They're going to be taken in by him, and it's hard for me to understand why people would believe a man who is like that, and when they won't believe the Bible that tells them about a God who is gracious and merciful and slow to anger. But that's coming. He uses the unbelievers. He uses disobedience to fulfill his purposes. And third, we need to keep preaching in a simple way, and we need to preach about sin and coming judgment. If people understand about sin, they'll look for salvation. But of course, we need to preach the whole gospel, how that the Lord died, was buried, and was raised from the dead according to the scriptures, and he's coming again, and everyone who trusts him will be saved from eternal judgment. And fourth, if God can do such great miracles with one who disobeys and is angry, maybe there is hope that he can use some of us who are perhaps a bit defective as well. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. We give thanks for the Lord in his worthy and precious name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.